This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
The game is over. You can turn your radios back on. The game is over.
Go back to us.
Please, roll down your window as loud as you can so the people in the car next to you know. On WEEI, the Red Sox game is over. It is safe to once again listen to 93.7. What a gigantic kick in the nuts.
Unbelievable.
By the way, it's unbelievable what's going on right now with a certain member of the Red Sox. I mean, the Red Sox in general, but a certain member of the Red Sox. And what's kind of funny is that that disaster right there is indeed the play of the game. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Today, gentlemen, how are we doing this afternoon?
Nice to have things you can count on, though. You know, you like reliability, like rain on the weekends here, and you know when Bayo starts, what you're going to get, so you can make plans.
Oh man,
if you're going to go down in a blaze of glory like the Red Sox are.
I mean,
it's kind of fun to watch this dumpster fire play out.
Hey, they're 1-1 since we last spoke. That's a 500 baseball team.
It's true. I was feeling good, you know, on the way in, and then of course we saw that first inning. But Stiz, you know, Chad Tracy before the game said it best. Let's take a listen.
Just feels like, you know, for us to be successful, we need Bayo to start. I mean, we beat a dead horse with this. Like, we start him, it doesn't go well. The opener doesn't do well. Why did you open? You don't. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, we need this guy to pitch. Like, we had him in an outing against the Guardians where he faced eight lefties. He's worked very hard in between starts over the last couple of weeks to work on arm slot and different things to solve for lefties. Like, we got to put him out there.
Yeah, you got to put him out there.
There's no clear answer for that.
Sure, you got to do that. So after games of having a fluffer, Brian Bello was going to actually start and pitch the first inning, and how'd that go? I can honestly say I have truly never seen anything like what Brian Bello is doing right now. A guy that in four games behind an opener has an ERA of 0.71, but as a starter, it balloons to 9.6.
Well, I think it's 16.88 in eight starts officially.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I guess I'm looking at the seven. What number am I looking at?
There's a lot of bad numbers.
Oh,
it's
incredible.
Awful, whatever it is. I believe Will was saying if he qualified, he's by a run the worst starter in baseball.
Can I just give you his numbers versus just the Orioles this year? His two starts.
Well, those probably
eight innings pitched, 20 hits, 16 runs, 16 earned, 5 home runs, 4 walks, 6 Ks, and a 17.28 ERA.
Unbelievable. And just if you didn't hear it or see it or you don't know what happened, he imploded big time. They put him in there the first inning, which, by the way, I think was the right thing to do.
Hey, Rich, first pitch of the game. Guy hits it off the wall for a double.
You do think it was the right thing to do? Because I do.
I think that you got to know. You got to know. You got to try. You know, it's weird. It's like, is this like maybe it's even like exposure therapy where you have to get them out there in the first inning to get over the yips? All I know is it's truly one of the weirdest things I've seen in baseball outside of we were talking about how for a while John Lester couldn't throw to first base. Like, this is even weirder. If you're Chad Tracy, you got to at least give it a go and see how well you can do.
No, you don't. You don't. You can do it in AAA. I mean, and Lenny DiNardo said this. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you learn in the minors. How to navigate a first inning with pitch selections. And Lenny's obviously more brilliant baseball mind than I am, but it seems like he needs help starting a game again. He's got to reset. He's got to go down. And this was, Rich, this was a huge game for them.
Yeah.
Think if the good vibes last night.
Was it? They're in last place by a decent amount. Are any games a big game anymore?
Last night was a party. People were like buying back in. You know how you were last Wednesday? It's like every middle game they win in the series, people are starting to buy back in again. And they had 15 hits, and if you win this series against Baltimore going into a Yankees series on the weekend, people are kind of reengaged. Instead, like to your point, they lasted 5 minutes, and they flipped the channel.
I can't kill Tracy for doing that. I just think you kind of got to know, and maybe now is the time you send him down.
Now we know, right?
I guess now we know.
Again, Tracy should be fired. I mean, right? I mean, you cannot have him make another start next week in Tampa.
No, because we've seen this movie way too many times this year. I mean, he's gotten more rope and more, I think, benefit of the doubt than most pitchers would at this point. It's just not working. You got to send him down.
Yeah.
I mean, you're killing your team.
The mental hell he's got to be going through right now, because there was a moment, too, where Narvaez was trying to come out of the mound.
First inning.
And Bayo said, nope, you go back.
Yep.
And you could just see
disrespect.
How pissed off he was. And by the way, you don't do that, Brian Baio. I mean,
you don't show off your catcher.
No. You never do that. Nope. But you could see it in his eyes how frustrated and pissed that he was at himself. And he was just like, I can't believe this is happening. It was like his worst nightmare was happening there right on the mound. It confirmed everything that was in his head that was wrong. Mm-hmm. It said, you know what? You were right. You shouldn't be pitching the first inning. And I don't know, to your point, whether they send him down and they have him continue to start down there or you just figure out a way to work around it. It just doesn't seem fair to a lot of different players to have him be someone who just comes in the second and has somebody take off the first. It's very odd. He's getting paid to be a starter. And I just think it's therapy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's therapy and reps. Didn't Glavin and a couple of those guys back in the day used to pitch like a mock first inning?
We were talking about that. A simulated start. Yeah, in the bullpen before you even go out there. So they're all lathered up. Like, it's crazy. I mean, it is crazy. Clockwork. Brian Baio goes out there to start the second after he's given up six runs in the first and goes 1-2-3.
He's nails.
Nine
in a row.
I forget who it was, but I think it was one of the Atlanta Braves pitchers that you're talking about.
Yeah.
They actually kind of simulated a first inning before the game so that because they were having the same type of issues that Brian Baio was having.
Yep. Right now you just got a major problem because this guy is getting paid like a starter, and it's very, very strange. And to be honest, it's like it actually is kind of uncomfortable to watch because you know that he's going through his own mental personal hell. Anytime you see someone with the yips, it gets to you. And mm-hmm. you've seen it before with kickers before who've gotten the yips in the NFL. You've seen it before with golfers who've gotten the yips, and you just all of a sudden will forget how to putt. And it's just, it really is tough to watch. So I don't know what the plan is. All I know is that Chad Tracy afterwards was asked about, I mean, it's obviously the first question. It's the only question of the game. Mm-hmm. And here's what Chad Tracy had to say. Do you got that, Stiz?
Just a struggle. They hit him hard. And of the innings, that was probably his worst strike-throwing inning. I think we were right around 50%, 21 out of 40. So got behind in some counts, and they jumped him on some early count stuff and put a big number up there.
Yep, and it was over before it started, man. Emblematic of what's going on this year. It is just his attitude. It's just kind of sulk. There's who's leading, who's helping him.
Yeah.
Showing him the way. Who's going to get in his face and being like, Brian, you got to snap out of this. I mean, there's no veteran leadership. I mean, the attitude is poor. You got the manager kind of, I don't know, acting like it's nothing to see here. Hey, we just, kind of making an excuse.
Do you think he has permission to send him down? I mean, they gave the guy $55 million, so maybe there's something with the front office saying, hey, we're not sending him to AAA. You got to get him right. You guys have to figure it out.
I mean, that's, to me, is always the fascinating question, Ken, is who's got the power? Yeah. I mean, I the only thing I think at the end of the day that Chad Tracy has power over is maybe the lineup every day. Those type of decisions, I feel like, are above his pay grade.
But I also think that if you don't send him down, like, everybody's watching this story. Yeah. Like, everybody knows you can't hide this.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody would crush you for sending him back down to get right.
It's not fair to the other guys.
No.
I mean, you're coddling this guy. I mean, you keep putting him out there, and you get behind. I mean, it stresses out the bullpen. I mean, the games are over before they start. It's not fair to the rest of the team.
Yeah, right.
To keep doing what they're doing.
They've had bad losses this year. This feels worse than last Thursday, the Chris Sale game where they give the grand slam. It was 2-2, and they had hit a slam off. You had to blow it open. Or even the Minnesota series where Slayton gave up two homers. This feels worse than those. It just feels like you had a chance to win a series, and you blew it with decision-making. And also, you had a chance when it's 2-0 to challenge a play at third.
Yeah.
And they took too long, apparently, to get the call in.
They did, yeah.
It feels like a staff that is overwhelmed at this level.
And that part of me wonders, is that because that's a young staff.
Yeah.
They're not used to challenging, at the AAA. They don't do those, make those challenges.
Right.
So
yep.
They're not up with kind of, how it works up here. And so he was late getting that challenge in, and it would have been the third out.
Yep. Ted, right. You made a point yesterday that I can't stop thinking about how important this is. And that was when you were saying last year, when you were broadcasting from Fenway Park, you would park in like the lot where the players were and you would see the cars that were there. And it was about halfway through the season, would you say?
Yeah, right around now.
Yeah. When the team kind of started finding their way, it seemed that all of a sudden, you would have more cars there
from
the players earlier in the day.
Yep.
And you believe that's the Bregman effect, right?
I do. I mean, because you started hearing stories about Bregman meeting with guys before, doing scouting reports with not only hitters, but pitchers and different position guys. And you could just see there was starting to be some positivity and momentum going. So the buy-in was clear to me because more and more cars were showing up earlier in these games. So you're not seeing that. You're seeing an empty lot right now.
Yeah.
You don't see guys getting there early now.
And to your point, there's obviously no vocal leader in there, but I think this is also a symptom of what's going on with Craig Breslow, relying too much on analytics and less on the actual people and who they are and, like, what kind of leaders they are. Because, I mean, the Schwarber thing was great because I love that they used that example in the article because they said they didn't want anybody that was over the age of 30 who couldn't play more than one position, and so it took somebody out there. So what you're immediately doing is you're cutting off people who have age, which means wisdom. Now, you may not be as good as you used to be, but you have something intangible that you can bring into that locker room to bring all these guys together. Mm-hmm. So when you have moments like this, you're like, everybody get your head out of your butt, yeah, and we're going to get out there, we're going to move on, and we're going to win this next round. Mm-hmm. And I just can't stand the fact that they have just completely neglected how important it is to have a leader in that clubhouse.
Because they can't quantify that in their algorithms.
Exactly, because that's not something that numbers will show you.
But what's weird about that is they went against numbers with Bayo. If you paid attention to any numbers this year, you would not have Brian Bayo start the game.
No, that's
true. Instead, you went with the gut of, well, we need him to be a starter. It's not working, but let's try.
Yeah. I told you, I don't mind that they started him today. I almost think you just had to know. Now you know.
Painful lesson.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't know by now, oh my goodness.
Well, if they start him again.
This has been repeating every game that he's been out there where he starts, he gets shelled. So, I mean, if you needed one more game to convince you, okay. But to me, they should have never started him. There was enough data and information that told you he's going to, you know, poop the bed if he starts, and he did.
I know football's different, Ted, but have you ever been around somebody who had the yips and somebody who just kind of lost it for a little bit, whether it be like a kicker or even sometimes, you know, obviously we talk about Mac Jones, mm-hmm, and how he suffered from the yips.
Stiz a couple months ago.
Stiz.
Was hitting all the wrong buttons.
Total meltdown. You know what I have? I'll give you a quick story. My rookie year, I roomed with the punter. His name was Pat O'Neill. He was in his second year. He had a great rookie year, okay, punter. He was terrible to start the season in his sophomore season, my rookie season, and he never would come out of his room. Hell, his mom's calling me and like, have you seen Pat? I'm like, yeah, he's here. He's just in his room. He was cut midway.
What was he doing in there?
His head in a pillow, man.
Just not being where he's supposed to be.
Parcells wrote in. You know, he basically wanted to break him. He either was going to go one way or the other, and the kid broke. So, I mean, Lee Johnson, another punter. Belichick cut him, because he was so nervous about Belichick that he dropped a ball. The ball snap came, hit him right in the hands. He drops it in a big game against San Diego at home, and they score, and we almost lose that game, and he cuts him. I've seen it happen. I've seen guys, the pressure gets to them. They have total, complete meltdowns. And I always say this, the guys that stay the longest in the bigs put their mistakes behind them and move on. You got to have a short memory, and Brian Bayo does not have a short
memory. Would you trade him? I mean, it gets to the point where maybe it's just not working here. You wouldn't get much for him right now. You're trading him at a total low point, but just like, and I hate this, I've been calling him Baby Pedro for years, so it's my fault. But
yeah. I mean, aren't we at that point, Ken?
It's just, he's shaking off your catchers, and he's becoming a distraction. And,
couldn't you totally know. See Ken, him going to a different team and immediately
sure.
being able to
of course.
Start?
Absolutely.
Like but, it just being a change of scenery, and that will do it for you?
Yep.
It's odd, and I don't know what the solution is. All I know is I remember John Smoltz used to have his therapist sit in the crowd right behind home plate. Mm-hmm. And he would pitch, and he'd be able to look at his therapist, and it was like his grounding. It was his way that he was able to center himself and not get in his own head. And I don't know what Brian Bayo needs, but right now what's happening isn't working.
So by the way, he's just speaking through a translator, and Max Cerullo of the Herald says Bayo emphasizes he's a starting pitcher, he doesn't want to hear people suggest out of the bullpen, and he's a big leaguer. So
you know what, hey, if you get you tell yourself whatever you got to tell yourself, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it differently, but you know, good for him. I mean, that's kind of how you should be, but I'm not sure how confident he's really, you know, but that's what you need to say.
Yeah,
to just, you know, to kind of fake it till you make it, baby.
Do,
you know,
do you give him another chance?
Not as a starter. No. He's proven he can't do it. He can't do it.
They have a lefty in AAA, Jake Bennett, who was up here for two starts. He's good. His numbers are great. He should be here. If I'm Jake Bennett, I'm pissed. I'm like, how can you keep running Bayo out here? you know, he's shown you everything you need. You traded for him in the offseason. Get him up here.
It is Brian Bayo is basically the poster child for kind of the new way in which they're doing business, right? They're giving younger players these early contracts.
Christian Campbell.
Projecting that he's going to be, you know, basically, you know, the money is going to be, you know, worth it.
Yeah.
And he's falling apart. He's miserable. You've got to consider trading him. You absolutely have to consider trading him.
Yeah, I would think so at this point. I mean, and what do you get? You know, who knows? Are they willing to pay the type of that, you know, are they willing to give you the amount of...
Nope. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, like, nope. What do you do? You almost got to fix the guy first before you can trade him for what you need. But I don't know how you handle it.
Send him to Lorenzo. Does he work with pitchers?
Well, ever since Lorenzo's been in there, Caleb Durbin's been pretty good.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Is this a dumb question? It doesn't matter where, if it's at home or away. When he starts, he's terrible. Doesn't matter,
correct.
Home or away, right?
That's right.
So, okay. Yep. You just wonder maybe if some guys would benefit going to a smaller market, you know.
Sure.
He seemed like a guy that would be perfect in a smaller market.
Absolutely. All right. 617-779-7937. We are not going anywhere. We're going to be here. We're back in 2 minutes. And when we come back, I never, ever have inside information. I have inside information on something having to do with your Boston Celtics. There is a theory that is going around right now that I actually have inside information.
Making calls
regarding.
Last night or this morning?
My man.
Just fell in your lap or what?
Shaking trees, you know me. I'm calling
working
my sources.
It, man. Working phones?
Absolutely. All right. We will do that. We're not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be back. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. You give us a call. As I said, I say it every show, the number one way we like to connect with our listeners is via the phone. We love talking to you. 617-779-7937. I do not have any social media going during the show. I appreciate people who do connect on that, but I don't pay any attention to it while we are on the air. So if you want to get to us, you can do that. Or go to the Odyssey app, and you can press that little microphone, and that launches a take grenade. You record it. We'll play it sometime before the end of the show, which is in less than an hour, because it's a very short show today because of fantastic Red Sox baseball that wasn't depressing in the least.
Well, 7 hits.
Yeah, well, hey.
Bayo really settled down after the first.
That's right. All right, so there is, and this happens all the time, there's a lot of people who will grab onto a nugget and they'll try to make a big conspiracy theory out of it, and they'll try to claim credit for all of it. So right now, yesterday, there were all of these people rushing to be the first one to tell you that they've got an inside source that says Jaylen Brown is selling his place.
Mm-hmm. 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 Nice little 4 points, yeah.
That's right. That's right. Over at 4 points,
nice.
He's got a little place over there, and it was a race to take credit for being the first person to let the world know that Jaylen Brown could be moving to a different city because he has put his big $4.9 million residence out there for sale. And, I mean, it is kind of cool.
And nice. The adjoining studio where he slept in, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep, and the studio as well. I guess it comes with the super cool pool table
it's
that he's
massive.
Got there. It is pretty darn big. That four-point area is like... it's the seaport, but like huge warehouse type, like lofts.
I like it. Yeah, I like that.
It is a nice area.
Yeah.
It is. It is. Although there is a new building that's there, that's the Libby Pharmaceuticals building that looks just like the thing that the Sand People used to move around in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It literally looks just like it that's down there. But I might be the only nerd who thinks that. But everyone's got this whole conspiracy theory that Jaylen Brown, this means he is going to be leaving, maybe going to Atlanta, possibly going to Miami. And I will tell you this with 100% certainty. He hasn't lived there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He has another home in Boston.
He's had it listed for a couple years.
Yeah.
He tried to list it like in 24, I believe.
Right. And this is a relisting. Like, I know where he lives. This isn't it. Like, he's lived in it where he does all of his Twitch streams and stuff. That's not here. He has another home in Boston that he has lived for a long time. And he's been trying to sell this for a decent amount. So anyone who's trying to read into the fact.
But he unlisted it and then relisted it.
Maybe he rented it to somebody. That happens
but
sometimes.
But people do that. You know, if they can't sell it for a long time and it's been on the market, you know, they take it off.
Yes.
So it doesn't look like, okay, why isn't anybody buying this? And then they put it back on just so that it doesn't look like it's been sitting there for a long
time. Okay, but if he were moving, he would need to sell this place in addition to
his
other one.
He's been trying to... Jeez, Ken, come on.
I mean, I'm just trying to... examine all angles here.
You're one of those people who tried to claim you had an inside source with this. It's really...
Is this story got people worked
yes,
up?
Yes, yes. There's people who like, Stiz, am I wrong?
Social media was on fire last night with this stuff.
And he's out of here. Oh, my God. Oh, he's gone. You know who's in it. And, like, and everyone's trying to like take credit for being the one. I know a guy who works at the seaport. And he told me, before anyone, he was listening to this thing. He lives in a... For 2 years, he has lived in a different place in Boston. Okay. And he lives in the same, actually, I won't call him out.
Yeah,
but what I am saying is that he has lived in a different home for 2 years. This is just his other home that he moved from, and he's been trying to unload it for a while. So this doesn't mean
But when he have his company
anything.
In from out of town, they probably stay at this place. Now he's not going to need that.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently he was hanging out with, who was it, Rihanna over at...
Oh, that's what Stiz said.
Yeah, jump back. Where, in Boston?
Yeah, she was in town or
was
something.
She just Rihanna right here? Who was Jalen hanging with over in Copley?
Hey, Stiz, Rihanna?
I think it was Riri. Yeah.
Grime?
Riri.
Yep. Yeah. It was like Rihanna and somebody else who I don't listen to, who I think was hanging out at some speakeasy over by Copley Square. But yeah, so don't read into any of that. Now, there is still even more like heat as far as Giannis wanting to come to the Celtics.
There is.
That's something I continue to see from like decent reporters saying that Giannis seems to be open to coming to a place like Boston, even more so than going to Miami. Like Miami is something he's obviously interested in, but Celtics from what I have been seeing is most likely, I don't want to see his preferred destination, but one that intrigues him.
Yeah, is it two-way street, though? Because I've been hearing the Celtics do not have interest in Giannis.
Wouldn't you say that if you wanted to get him for the cheap?
Good point, Rich.
You think? I would love, honestly, I'm done with JB. I wish, I want him broken up. You know where I stand with this. I've got enough. I'm done. I'm firm line in the sand. I am going to stick to my convictions. I'm done with JB. You know what? It's just not working. It just isn't going to work. I don't think they're pulling in the same direction. I don't think they play off each other like they should. Jason Tatum's not going anywhere. So one of them's got to go to just change up the energy, man.
Are you watching these finals? Like, did you watch last night?
I thought it was a great game,
dude,
man.
Heavy
love that game.
Weight fight.
It was
like,
awesome.
You can't ask for anything more in an
guys
NBA finals.
Guys busting their asses last night.
Oh, and it got personal, too, which I loved. Like,
the Knicks fans took over.
They did.
I was like, what? I don't know why that was pissing me off.
Well, you know what?
But
you know,
it was.
What's funny, Ted, is that there
You're
was part of me that almost started, as I said, I think it's better for the Celtics if the Knicks win, but I do want the Spurs to win. Like I would rather have the Spurs win. Mm-hmm. However, there was a moment yesterday where even I was like, "Oh well, New York's gonna kill them because I'd be pissed off if they did this." Stiz, do you have the clip of when they did the player introductions? So at the beginning of the game, obviously they introduce the visiting team first, which in this case was the Knicks. Listen to what the arena in San Antonio was playing in the background while they were announcing the Knicks.
Introducing the starting lineup of the visiting Eastern Conference champions, the New York Knicks. 6'5 guard from Villanova, number 3, Josh Hart. 6'2 guard from Villanova, number 11, Jalen Brunson. 6'6 forward from Villanova, number 25, Mikal Bridges.
This is playing.
6'7 forward from Indiana, number 8, OG
Anunoby. It's like this cartoon music.
And a 7-foot center from Kentucky.
They're trolling the Knicks?
Yeah.
Like, brilliant.
I missed this.
What are you doing?
Wow.
And Brunson.
Poking a bear, huh?
Oh, yeah. And Brunson in the fourth quarter was awesome. And I don't know if you saw it when the game ended. Like, Brunson wasn't happy at all. So the game was over.
Yeah.
There were two people in the front row who were apparently yelling something. I guess it was fairly foul about him flopping. They didn't say that it was – I didn't hear if it was, like, racist or anything. Like, I don't think it was. I just think they were using bad language, and they were making fun of him flopping. Mm. And he started yelling and talked to one of the refs, like, you're going to let these guys do this? And as he was leaving the court, there is this video of him. The camera's right in his face. That dude is all business. Like, there was no smiles, no high-fiving. Like, this means nothing to me.
It's hard to not like him. It's hard to not like him.
It is. I want to not like him. Mm-hmm. I want to not like him.
Oh, but he's, dude, so
he's
good.
A beast, dude.
He is a gamer,
beast.
Man.
I'm, like, falling in love with this guy.
Yeah.
You just love Dan Housen.
Total gamer.
I mean, okay. I do love Dan Housen, too. 12-0 since the curse has been lifted.
Let's talk about Dan Housen. Dan Housen's the wrestling dude who puts curses on people, and he was the one who put a curse on the Cavs, and ever since that happened, the Cavs, of course, like, lost in crazy fashion. And then he lifted the curse off of the Knicks, And I don't think the Knicks have lost since, what, April 28th or something like that?
12 in a row.
Yeah, dude, 12 in a row. And what was great was, I don't know if you saw this, but at the end, maybe you even sent it to me. At the end of the game, not the end of the game, it was like with like 2 minutes left, what's his name? Brunson does the Danhausen thing with his hands as if he's cursing people.
He knows. He knows.
Sold his soul to Danhausen.
I was impressed with the Knicks. I mean, they're gritty. They're tough.
They just played Wemby straight up. They just had Towns defend. Towns on. That's pretty impressive. That's fine.
I was wondering. Like, I mean, it was a good matchup. I mean, Wemby was getting all up in his grill.
And
Towns was going right by him. Wemby thinking he can kind of block it from behind. He did a couple times, but a couple times Towns just went boom.
Yep.
Right by him, man. And I thought he did a good job. I thought Towns did a good job on
Wemby. Our man Cornette got beat bad once. I was like, oh man, maybe Cato over Cornette.
He'll bounce back. The murder Cornette always bounce back. but I also love when Charles Barkley's in San Antonio, because every time he's there, he makes fun of the people being fat.
He does.
Like every single time. He never, by the way, it's great coming from Barkley too. I mean, the man's lost a lot of weight, but the dude's kind of being fat. Do you have a example? Let's take a listen.
That water's so dirty, I'd rather go to San Antonio. Tell you with them big old women. I mean, I want to go to the beach down in the river walk and watch them big old women walk around. That's what they invented Victoria's Secret, Jack.
Why is it secret?
Because them little women down there, they can't get in them cute little underwear. They wear bloomers down in Santa.
Oh, my God. That's messed up. You know what? And I'm a proud Texan, proud Texan. But come on, guys. In the front row, there was a guy wearing their cowboy hats in the front row.
With the
Wrangler jeans. And there was a guy that was standing up next to the ref with his cowboy hat on, and I was like, bro, you're not making us look good.
San Antonio must be different Texas, though.
San Antonio is a weird city.
It's a little bit more cowpoke town than the other cities in Texas.
It's funny. I used to like San Antonio, and I went back recently. It's a pretty kind of crummy tourist town. I love Texas,
too. The Riverwalk's nice.
No, it's not anymore.
It is nice.
It's scummy. Yeah. It's like you go down, and it's all these like touristy restaurants like Dick's Last Resort, Faneuil Hall's nice. I mean, it's nicer because this is like half the stores are shut down, and there's a really depressing boat that goes through the middle. It used to be nice, and now like San Antonio's.
They call it Hill Country though. So it is. There is some topography that is, you know, it's hilly and there are beautiful. I think
the outside of San Antonio.
Yeah, right. Outside,
you're right. Yeah. There's like, I mean, if you like golf and it's really gorgeous.
Yep.
But like downtown San Antonio, I used to think was nice, and I went back recently. It's gotten depressing. It's like, and it, like, I think that everyone's kind of moved out of the city itself. It's weird. And it's also weird because, like, that's the only game in town. Like, you got the Spurs, and then nothing else.
Yeah, they have, like, an AHL team or something like that.
What do we think? Is the Knicks not even a question?
Spurs are still winning this. I think they're still winning it. I think they're winning
in five?
Six. I think they're winning it in six.
If they can win it. Because six puts them back in New York, right? If they could clinch at Madison Square Garden, it would be awesome.
I
would love that.
A buddy of mine who lives in New York sent me a video of people partying in the street in New York, and someone accidentally set a woman on fire.
What?
Have you seen the video, Stiz?
I did, yeah. It's on Twitter.
Dude, it's crazy. It's like everyone's in the street. I don't even know how the flame started. But the next thing you see, is you see this woman whose hair got caught on fire, and these people are, like, patting it out.
Jeez.
So, I mean, New York's going to go nuts whether they win or lose.
You guys are crazy, though. Give me the Knicks in six. I'm rooting for the Knicks.
You know what? I'm kind of with Stiz on this.
You know what?
I'm with Stiz.
It wouldn't surprise me if that happened. It wouldn't. Because then you can immediately say, well, they weren't ready for the moment. And you know what? They're a young team. They're only going to get better. And I just think that Wembanyama got punched in the mouth and didn't realize that it was going to be as tough as it is. And hopefully that'll wake him up and the rest of the team.
We're going to have to give them their flowers, though. Everybody said the NBA championship was the Western Conference Finals.
Correct.
So if the Knicks beat the Spurs, man, we're going to have to give them their flowers, man.
But to my point that I started with is that, or how you feeling as a Celtics fan having Tatum and Jaylen Brown when you take a look that in your own division,
you know, I'm starting to feel you on this. I am, because I'm getting really agitated with these Knicks fans, and they're just not an easy team to like, you know, because of their fans.
Yep.
If they win the whole thing, I'm coming around to your side of the street.
Blow it up.
Hopefully
the next one.
That'll piss off the Celtics, hopefully, and they'll make some sort of move. And as a Celtics fan, you're going to want some sort of move because you don't want to have to deal with that over and over again. And hopefully those Knicks fans are pissing you off.
Yeah, wait till the Red Sox sweep the Yankees this weekend. Take that.
Yeah, take that, New York. A rivalry that's still alive. All right, 617-779-7937. All right, there was something that Chad Tracy told us yesterday that got on Ted's nerves, and I kind of thought the same thing after it was all done. But we'll let, I'm sure Ted's going to be able to get into this in a way that I can't. We're not going anywhere. 2 minutes, we'll be right back, and we'll play that for audio for you next.
Nature of first of all, it's a big market. There's a lot of people. You go out for batting practice. There's fans on the field. There's tons of media. That's part of it here. I do think, and I don't want to speak for them, it's not wrong. Like when you go on the road, you're all together. There's nowhere to go. Like you're not necessarily rushing out to get to your family because it's just us. You're getting on the bus together to and from the ballpark, and there's a very small contingent of media that's there. They're in there for 45 minutes, and it really.
Danhausen's a theme? Very evil,
very nice, very evil, very nice.
Oh, jeez.
That is horrible.
Very evil, very nice, oh, no, this is great. This is what wrestling needs. I do love this.
Okay. I don't remember he lived next door to the Munster.
This works, huh? He's got a fan base?
He has a huge fan base.
It's exploding.
Hey, see, I think you need... wrestling has enough guys who just come out and say, I'm tough. It's the weird ones that are the best.
Okay.
There was a guy...
I'm not feeling it, but okay.
Who was the dude who was like the dude who had the guitar, Elias? Walk with Elias. He was like a hippie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he would go out there and then he would just like smash people over the head. Like, you see, if you have an angle like that, that's all right by me.
I bought a shirt. I can't tell you the last time I bought anything wrestling. Probably 30 years. You know what I mean? But it's like a trend that's taken over.
Compare that
it.
To Real American, what Hulkster used to walk out to. Which was great. It's a shame in comparison.
I remember when my kids were really little, I showed them the Real American music video with Hulk Hogan, and they beat the snot out of each other for 3 straight days. It was like violence had been introduced into their lives.
Do you remember Rock and Roll Express?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you think they did lines of Coke before they went out?
And they had loads of Coke.
Because I've never seen anything like it.
I know.
And I'm guessing now that I'm older and more, looking back, I'm thinking, I think they just did a whole bag of Coke and just went out and did their routine, man.
Think of like the Lex Luger, like just the 80s, those guys were just so wired. I remember I used to, so my wife actually interviewed for WCW. Like remember when it used to be like the two powerhouses next to each other? It was WWE and it was WCW. And for a while, WCW was number one. Like, that was like Hulk Hogan, the NWO, WWE had like The Rock and Stone Cold. But she actually went to the power plant where all those guys trained. And there was her job.
The name of the gym is the power plant?
Oh, yeah. It's the power plant. It was great. And like, Diamond Dallas Page is there with his like burlap shirt that's like torn open and his jorts. But she was one of the people who was like was going to license the music. And at the time, they didn't actually play real bands' music. They would just take like Enter Sandman and change like one note so they wouldn't get sued. But yeah, so those guys were. That was when roids were everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like look at like Scott Steiner. Look at who's the guy who ended up becoming a gigolo? Buff Bagwell. Like Big Buff Papa Bagwell. Pump had muscles on top of his muscles. It was disgusting. You ever seen guys like that before that it was just like so ridiculously gross?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Southern California, man. It was everywhere. All the gyms. I mean, just the pimples, acne. Oof.
Yeah.
You could tell right away who was using steroids.
It was right on the neck, right back in the neck. Is that where you saw like the
and
worst?
And their skin was like a little kind of yellowy.
Yes.
It was eesh.
Yeah, that was a weird time. All right, so the I know that you may have forgotten by now, but the clip we just played at the very beginning of that was Chad Tracy yesterday when we had him in studio, and he was addressing the comments that were made by Izzy about how, there were just too many people at home. The reason they weren't winning at home is because there seemed to be too many people they didn't know.
Big market.
Yeah.
One of the phrases he used.
Yeah, big
there's
market.
There's a lot of media when you come home.
Well, that's what Chad said.
Yeah.
And so, but Izzy was just kind of being vague about who these people are.
Yeah, gotcha, yeah.
And we were all trying to figure out before we talked to Chad Tracy,
right.
Does he mean like batting coaches? Does he mean that everyone's partying? And then what Chad seemed to say was that, not seemed to say, what he did say is that it was more about it being a big media place and it being that's different than anywhere else. Yeah. And Ted, I think I know where you're going with this because I started to feel the same way.
Dude, I sat there and I listened to his answer and I accepted it and then pushed and challenged, didn't say anything. And I listened back to it. I'm like, He's totally full of crap. He's totally full of
our
crap.
Our man Trace?
Yeah. Dude, bro, I know you got a tough job, and you seem like a great guy. But I sat there, and I just totally bought everything you said. That is the – you got to be kidding me. What Izzy was trying to – was saying was nothing what Chad Tracy explained it away as. And I mean, when you asked the question, it was like, oh, I'm glad you asked, Rich. Yeah. And he leaned into it and gave you this whole song and dance on why – being playing at home is so much harder because there's just more media. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Dude, the honest answer is because there's distractions here. Guys aren't focusing on their job. They're out late. They're probably partying. That's the real answer.
Yeah.
But Chad Tracy steered clear of that and gave us this other explanation that is total bullcrap.
And Izzy also said people we don't know, which if it was media, you pretty much know who the media contingent is. It's got to be some other group of people that are around that you literally don't know who they are in the front office.
I guarantee you it's a mix of what Ted's saying, and then it's also a mix of you've got five different voices telling you how to hit a ball. Different voices telling you different ways to do it. You've got these driveline guys, you've got your own guy, and then you've got other people's guys who are coming in there. So many different people, and then you've got Craig Breslow, who's talking to his coach, and I heard Brez this morning.
Yeah, he denied vehemently that there were any front office people in the clubhouse, but then I think it's semantics, because Izzy's probably saying when we go out in the field to hit in the cages, that's where you see a bunch of people.
Were we talking about this yesterday? Like, I think with Brad Foe, I asked him about, are guys allowed to have their people in the locker room? He goes, no, but they are on the field.
On the field,
so they can. There might be people that you don't know on the field talking to all the players. They just don't have access to the locker room. But the field, what's the difference? Field, locker room, you know, it's all the same.
It's very convenient to just blame the media. That's an easy thing to do.
Dude, you're in Boston. Nothing's changed. It's always been this way.
I know.
Can't use that excuse.
But don't you think they got together and said, hey, what's a good way to spin this?
Yep.
Sure.
Let's blame
big market. Because the media is the bad guy. It's always the bad guy. But the one thing I can say about this, I just think that there's nobody who is getting these guys in line and holding them accountable for what happens at home.
There's the word, accountability. There's no accountability in this organization.
No.
Right now. None.
No.
Zero. Zilch. I mean, Chad Tracy basically was excusing away what Izzy had to say. I mean, who's getting mad at Bayo? Did anybody get in his face and call him out? Like, there's no repercussions for any of this behavior.
But that's why I think, in defense of Tracy, he's an interim manager, for God's sakes. He probably doesn't have the ability to send Bayo down. He probably, if he wanted to, doesn't have the ability to say, we're shutting this down, you're not allowed in here, you're not allowed in here, we're setting restrictions, Roman, you're back at this time at night, or whatever it is, whoever is going out late. I mean, I have no idea if that's the case. But do you think he has the ability to make these decisions?
He's in a tough spot. But the one thing I will say is that when the Phillies fired their manager, they had Don Mattingly ready to go.
Right.
When the Red Sox fired their manager, they had a guy that we all like, but I don't believe he right now commands the respect that you need
I agree.
To put that
and
locker
do you know what's interesting is that Breslow didn't have this strong relationship with Chad Tracy. Like, no. I think I read something where they met once or but
right. He said, Brez said, we don't know each other. We have to get to know each other.
So what the hell, Brez?
Right.
Now
it's a young team. Maybe you felt like he knows the younger guys a little bit and it might pay off. But the fact that they didn't make him full-time manager tells me they're unsure.
You know, if I'm Chad Tracy, it's interesting. Like, how much power does he have? I would be flexing power right now because it was he knew right when he took this job that he might not last the season.
Yeah.
So it's basically a trial period for him. So what do you got to lose, Trad? Like, you might as well if you're going to go out swinging.
Sure. You could go back to AAA.
But doing nothing is worse.
Yeah.
Like, just acting like as if nothing's wrong here.
Yeah, you're not helping yourself.
You're not helping yourself.
Yeah, I agree. At least if you go down swinging, you might earn some respect around the league.
No doubt.
I would have liked somebody to come out and say, we're making changes. We listened to Izzy. He's right. We need to make these changes. Instead, it's explaining what he meant by saying big market media, whatever it is.
All right. We have to talk about something when we get back because there is a certain person that there is a debate whether or not they're going to be in the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame. And I don't know.
It's even a debate.
I don't know if he's a Hall of Fame player, but he's definitely a Hall of Fame douchebag.
No doubt.
We might need to get into that. And somebody who apparently is going to be on our TVs a lot more doing some broadcasting. And you can say what you will about Gronk. You can call him a dummy. You can say that the guy kind of, you know, yo soy fiesta. But there's certain things that guy is really smart about. And he said something about these like players nowadays and how they're spending their money that just absolute. I love it because there's another player in the league who's doing the exact opposite. And we'll do a tale of two players right after this. It is 93.7 WEI, Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. I'm actually seeing St. Vincent this band tonight.
This sounds like Depeche Mode.
I'm saying that Devo.
A little bit.
Devo.
And the thing is, like, she's got a ton of different... yes, it's like the Danhausen theme. She's got, like, 10 albums, and each one sounds different. Like, the last one, she had Dave Grohl play drums on, and it's like a straight-up rock album, and this one's, like, a little more, like, EDM, but... She's awesome. She's actually doing it with the Boston Symphony tonight.
Cool.
Wild. All right. Well, it is an interesting time right now because there's so much talk about A.J. Brown. And I said this yesterday. It's amazing how immediately people try to find some sort of opposite angle from the original feeling that everyone has. Like when A.J. Brown, it was first announced that he was here and leading up to it, you know, the majority of people were like, this is great. Awesome. You now have an excellent wide receiver, one of the best in the game, that is going to help your young quarterback ascend in year three. No one really seemed to have a huge problem with it being a first-round pick in 2028. We knew this was coming for the longest time. And then a day goes by, and all of a sudden everyone wants to, like, crap on it. And it's the same people. I guarantee you it's the same people that if they had not made that deal – that if for some reason someone else would have swooped in and gotten A.J. Brown, mm-hmm. everyone would have killed the Patriots for not spending that pick mm-hmm. to get him.
Totally.
And that's just the way sports talk works, whether it be on the television or it be on sports talk radio. Everyone tries to sit and they come up with a opinion that they don't believe in because they want people to talk about him.
Are you calling us unauthentic?
Well, the one thing I'll say is that I'm too dumb to think of a take that I don't believe in.
I'm the same way. Same. Guilty.
I honestly can't. And I know that it's an art and there's people who excel in it and they will go all in. But in this one, it is strange how there are these there's this now huge rash of negative A.J. Brown to the Patriots.
It's unreal. I don't get it. The Patriots got beat in the deal. Yeah. So what? And it was even if they won the deal, it wasn't by much. And you know, here's the thing. You know what? Even if it doesn't work out, even if his knee blows out, good for the Patriots
yeah.
for making a move. Bravo.
Yeah.
Like you guys took a chance. You bet on a guy that you think's going to make a huge impact, and we all agree.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. At least they're trying to do something, you know, as opposed to just sitting on their hands and not doing anything like they get used to do, you know, and not resting on their laurels. Man, they get to the Super Bowl, maximize that momentum. Let's build on it, you know, and that's what they did. So I give them all the credit in the world. Even if it doesn't work out, oh, well, they tried.
The only thing that I might second guess, and I can't, it would be a second guess because I love the trade like Ted does. It's awesome. A+. However, if Steph Diggs goes somewhere else and has an awesome year and A.J. Brown is not as great, then that will hurt.
Steph Diggs is going to do just fine because I guarantee you, what were the two teams that we were hearing that the Chiefs was one of them that was rumored that he might want him?
That's about it, though, really.
Wasn't it didn't we hear the Rams?
I haven't heard of them, no.
He was a leader here, and it will take some time to, like, flip that to new people, right?
Yeah, but, kid, you know, I think it was the right move. I do think they kind of – I just don't feel like he could do what he did last year. I don't know why.
It was one and done. It was like a –
That's what it feels like to me. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of scouts, you read articles that he's kind of a one-year guy. You know, mm-hmm. he just does – you know, he comes in, he does – and then he leaves. Look – here's the thing about, you know, people are like, hey, I think Ben Volen's getting crushed for his article, basically.
He's the big local voice other than our guy on Red X.
And they're saying, well, you know, if you get rid of a 1,100, you know, yard pass catcher in Steph Diggs, and then you, Kayshawn Booty, that's 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns that go out the door. Here's the thing, though, Ben. I can almost see A.J. Brown himself getting that, mm-hmm. what those two guys got combined. But even if he doesn't, here's the thing. A.J. Brown is going to make everyone better. Yep. Steph Diggs doesn't make everyone better. A.J. Brown's going to make the running game better. A.J. Brown's going to make DeMario Douglas better. He's going to make Hunter Henry better because he's going to pull coverage unlike Steph Diggs couldn't do. So it's to compare the two is asinine.
I just can't. When I see people getting pissed off about this, I just immediately think, you're the same one that would have crushed the Patriots if they didn't do this. Mm-hmm. Like I know they would have. I know their game.
They should have only given up a second rounder.
Yeah.
You know why? It's like, please, honestly, like, you kidding me? Have you seen the first round picks the Patriots have had in the last 10 years? They suck at
draft. Vrabel doesn't even pay attention to the draft. So who cares about that?
Sure, of course. Let's go to Adam on line two. Adam, what's happening, my man? How you doing?
Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm so excited about this A.J. Brown offensive addition, and I think what everyone's forgetting and how sick it's going to be is how it's going to open up Drake May's legs, and defenses are going to be covering Hunter Henry, the run game, all this stuff, and then when they least expect it, Drake May is going to gash them for like 10, 15, 20 yards. It's not going to be reckless. He's not going to hurt himself. He's going to have so much room to explode. It's going to be sick.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
I agree.
Can I get nerdy real quick?
Of course.
Okay, so the Patriots offense faced, I think, one of the almost the most 8-man boxes. All right, they did not have receivers where they needed to put two safeties deep to cover the deep part of the field.
Mm-hmm.
So teams were loading the box. So the Patriots had a very hard time running the ball because the passing game didn't require defenses to play two high safeties. Now, with A.J. Brown, teams are going to have to play two high safeties,
mm-hmm.
and now all of a sudden, you got room to run the football.
Yep.
It's just that's the impact he has.
Didn't Randy Moss always say, my job is to catch the ball and take a top off the defense?
That's it, baby.
Yep.
And I got to just say this. Mina Kimes, love her. She's on all over this A.J. Brown thing. Last year, on tight window throws, Drake May ranked first in precision pass rate, first in QBR, first in completion over expected. Over the last 3 years, A.J. Brown ranked first in yards route run, first in catches, first and first up downs. It's a perfect match.
It is.
It's chocolate and peanut butter, baby.
It's perfect, and I think that's why they said first round pick, great, got no problem with it. Yep. We'll wait 3 months. Yep, first round pick, we don't. And then when it happened. And we broke it, baby, before anybody else.
Should buy Jalen's condo.
Yeah, that's right.
One round to another.
$4.9 million for like a loft is asking a lot, Jalen. Come on. You might need to lower that price.
He spent $6 on it. He's taking a crush.
Taking a little hit on it?
Yeah. It's
got a rooftop.
Lofts
it's got a terrace.
Lofts are weird, man.
Yeah, I think they're cool for like a little bit, and then I'd be like,
I don't know. If you're like in an 80s drug movie. Outside of that, if you're playing a saxophone on the ledge of your building,
but he said what he likes about it is that it's close to the highway. I kind of like that he cares about traffic that much. He's like, makes him feel like an average guy.
You know what a lot of home buyers don't like? When it's close to the highway. So maybe he needs to rethink that. Steve.
Close to the highway, Ken, because he's trying to get out of here.
Yeah. Huh? Steve in the truck. What's up, Steve in the truck?
Gentlemen, how are we doing today? Hey, I wonder what a caller of the year across the United States would have thought if they didn't make the deal. Do you think he's one of those guys? And why didn't you pick up on that yesterday and say something about that like you just did?
You calling Paulie out again?
Again? 2 days in a row.
What do you think he would have said?
Steve, let it go.
He's in your head, Steve.
The guys that probably said, he said they should have gave nothing more than a third round pick. If they didn't make the deal, he would have been saying, why didn't they let him go? Why didn't they get him?
Steve, get him.
Get him, Steve. Paulie talks out of both sides of his mouth,
You bet your ass, Steve.
I agree. Ted, I love you.
I love you, buddy.
Listen, Steve. I'll stick up for Paulie because he's a good caller. But I love when he wakes up with the boys like, man, that Paulie's going to piss me off today.
Talk radio, caller of the year.
Who gave him that badge? We should make those badges. We should be the ones that give out those awards.
He had a year, too, 2005.
Oh, 2005. I mean, hopefully he's got that thing framed over the mantle. All right, 617-779-7937. People not named Paulie and Steven the Truck can call us. We like taking those calls as well.
We didn't get to your Hall of Fame thing. That was a good tease.
Okay, we are going to do that next because I think Ted and I are on the same page of this, and I think, Ken, you might be as well. So we will get to that right after this. All right, great song, by the way. 93.7 WEEI, Rich, Ken, Ted, we have about 10 minutes. This is a short, abbreviated show, and this is one of those, we get it on the 7-hour show, because there's a lot of stuff we got to get to. You don't have to play the sounder. We are going to sweep the leg, which means we're going to get through all of this, because I'm excited about several things that we've got. First of all, Brian Baio, through his interpreter, said something that was, as Sid says, very spicy, and it really was. He's kind of getting pissed off at the fans. And I want to play that in a minute. But first, we've been talking about somebody who right now looks like he's got his own career in broadcasting ahead of him, as he was just hired by CBS.
Snooze.
I believe.
Snooze.
After announcing his retirement, Mr. Russell Wilson. is going to be on TV. Russell Wilson is such a strange human being to me in that on paper, this guy should be so well respected around the league. I mean, I remember in Russell Wilson's heyday, that was one of those quarterbacks that at times would just say, get on my back, I'm winning this for you.
He was at the beginning of his career, he took games over in the fourth.
He did. That's what you look for. I remember that was the big knock on like Tannehill. Like Tannehill had big numbers and he was like one of these guys in fantasy football, but he wasn't a guy that you'd look at and say, get on my back, I'm gonna win this for you.
Definitely not.
Russell Wilson was that guy.
For a little bit, yeah.
And for a little bit. And if you look at like some of his numbers, it's truly insane.
His numbers are impressive.
Like they really are. I mean, he's the only player in NFL history to record over 40,000 passing yards and 5,000 rushing yards. That's crazy.
His career passer rating is fifth all time, 99.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. But the one thing about him is that the people he played with don't seem to respect him at all. And I think
not surprising.
I think part of it is because he just tried so hard to be cool. Like,
he was dangerous.
He's one of these guys that just by being himself would have immediately had the respect of everyone around him. He was a gamer for a while. He, you know, obviously helped these guys win, but he would do such nerdy things that I don't know how you could be a friend. Do you remember?
You can't hold that against him.
Nerd
quotient.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You can.
Ted gets it.
Yep. Yep.
How about this? Okay, Ted. Ken, then you have never heard this. Do you remember when he tried to invent an alter ego? Like he went and like on social media to create his own alter ego. Yeah. If you have not heard this, put your arms around yourself and give yourself a hug for the douche chills that are about to come. Let's take a listen.
I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited. Mm.
Who was that chiming in the back? Was that his wife?
It was Ciara.
Yes,
Ciara.
Oh,
nice.
Brutal.
Okay, but
brutal.
Is he cooler than Eli?
Eli's fine.
Eli's cool because he's Eli.
Yeah,
because
he's not trying hard. You're right. He's not trying at all. He's just
like
kind of a derp. Yeah, he's a derp. He's just one of these guys who's just like, oh, I'm a kind of a country hick and I'm a derp. And he doesn't even like.
You'd like him, Ken. I hung out with him and his brother at the ESPYs, and I hated Peyton. I hated him. And I met him. I like, I love these guys. Love him. Eli's just, he's just cool. Just being Eli.
Okay, who's the better quarterback? Russell Wilson or Eli?
Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's a better quarterback.
I think so, too.
There's not even a question.
He won one less.
Not even a question.
It's Russell Wilson.
Yeah. And it sucks to say that because I think Eli Manning is, without a doubt, a Hall of Famer.
I think Russell.
Oh, what?
See, I think he's a Hall of Famer.
We don't have time. No. We're carrying this in tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
That is no. Yep. No.
Controversial take.
Not even no.
Because of what he has done in the postseason, there's not a question he's a Hall of Famer.
He's never once been considered one of the top five quarterbacks ever in any period in his career.
I know, but in the biggest moments, Eli Manning effing pulled it out and said, boom.
Nope.
I mean, he beat Brady twice. He's the only guy to do it.
Mm-mm. No, he does not get into the Hall of Fame. He will. He doesn't deserve it, though. Mm-mm. But Russell Wilson, nowhere near the Hall of Fame.
Okay. So what's crazy, Ted, is that I agree with you, and it's a strange thing that I'm thinking. I do think Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame, but I'm looking at Russell Wilson's numbers. They're a lot better outside of Super Bowls won. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Russell Wilson should sniff the Hall of Fame. And I think he's obviously a very, very good player.
There are worse quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame. That's the problem.
Yeah, Kenny Stabler's got more interceptions than he does touchdowns.
Bob Greasy, Joe Namath.
So Russell Wilson, a lot of times a barometer for me is how many All-Pros. Russell Wilson was on one All-Pro his whole career. It was second team All-Pro. Mm. You got to be minimum three All pros to even be considered, I think, a Hall of Famer. And
that's not many quarterbacks.
Yeah, he never won an MVP award. He was never voted a first team All pro, although he was in 10 Pro Bowls.
You know what part of Russell, he thought he wanted to be his own little like entity.
He
didn't want to be part of the team. He wanted to be above the team.
That was
and that's
Denver.
Why guys didn't like him.
You remember when he went to Denver?
Had his own, asked for an office?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
What's wrong with that?
He just did everything wrong. I think he tried to be Tom Brady. I think he wanted to be Tom Brady.
Well, when Tom went to Tampa and won the Super Bowl, and that was what every quarterback wanted to do, was just to go to another team and get paid a lot of money and win Super. And that's what he thought he was. At the end of his career was disappointing.
Horrible ending of the career.
Oh,
first 10 years are really good.
Yeah, it didn't end well.
Very tough evaluation.
But I still think that Eli's a Hall of Famer.
I think they both get in.
Nope.
Well, they'll probably both get in.
Christian Arkan, is Eli Manning a Hall of Fame?
You're asking another guy who's jilted by the Denver era. Mm-hmm. You and Arkan are too like close to Denver.
I say no to Eli Manning.
Absolutely. No.
I say no to Eli Manning.
Yes.
What about
no.
Russell?
We say no.
Russell, yes.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Hey,
Russell Wilson, I'd say yes.
You don't think Eli Manning, after winning those two Super Bowls the way that he did, is in a Hall of Famer?
That's defense. all he did. You know, like I don't.
How many quarterbacks win two Super Bowls and don't get in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, probably none.
How many Hall of Fame quarterbacks have a 500 record?
Boom.
All that matters is championship.
You can't answer a question with a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
yes, I just did, first of all. That was a pretty good one.
All right, by the way, that was a take grenade, and your take grenade was brought to you by Milligan & Higgins, OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to MilliganandHiggins.com for a free consultation. And
Roethlisberger has two, and he's not in yet.
But he'll get in. Roethlisberger will get in.
He should get in.
All right, let's play this. And I know we're about to take off, and Christian, I'm glad you're here because I know you're going to be talking about Brian Baio, as you should.
Oh, God.
Brian Baio... after the game, through his interpreter, if you didn't see what happened today, he finally pitched a first inning. Chad Tracy said, "Let's see what you do," and he just puked all over his shoes. Six runs in the first inning when the first pitch was just, you knew this was all going to go downhill. And afterwards, through his interpreter, sounds like he's sick and tired of people calling him out for these shenanigans and whether or not he should be a starting pitcher. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, first of all, just stop talking about bullpen and open and starting games. I've always been a starter, and when I've been successful as a starter, no one asks a question whether I have to be in the bullpen or starting games. So just starting from there, just stop that talk because I'm just having a bad season. That's it. It's not whether I'm a starter or I'm a reliever. It's just having a bad season. But I know that I can turn it around. I always have, and I think I will. But just starting to just not keep focusing on the starting and bullpen and all of that. Like I said before, I always try to come out of these difficult situations, and I think I will. It's just right now, it's just not the best start of the season.
Did you edit that, or did that interpreter remember like 5 minutes worth of dialogue?
Man,
he's good. That guy.
That was impressive.
He spit fire through the interpreter.
Yeah.
Wow,
that
dude.
Was good,
Brian.
I would guess he was cleaning it up a little bit too.
Man,
not a great answer.
Interpreter's probably. You sure you want me to say that? Okay,
right. Gonna put the elbow to the ribs. Like I'm not sure
a good response, man.
Yeah, I mean, listen. If you want people to think you're a starter, then start. First of all, start games. You just started one. And on top of that, don't be afraid to start games. And second of all, don't vomit on your shoes in the first inning. Like, I mean, if you want people to call you a starter, then damn it, play like a starter.
Send them down.
Yeah.
Send them down.
You got to send them down.
Yep, send them down.
He said no one criticizes me when I had success as a starter. And it's like, right. That's exactly right.
It's true.
And now you suck. And he said, but I'm having a bad season. You have a season this bad, you don't get to keep pitching. You know, like that's what happened. You don't get to keep making appearances.
By the way, Rich, you and I were both right. Your stat, 10.35 ERA, is his starter ERA in 8 starts.
Okay.
In the first inning, his ERA is 16.88.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. That's crazy. Because you're right. You know, actually, there was somebody who did have a take grenade that we're not going to be able to play. And his whole thing is it's not that Brian Baio doesn't want to pitch in the first inning. Is he wants to go in after the team is already in a hole. Because it takes the pressure off of him.
Yeah,
And I mean, it's sure, I guess so. I guess that's the case. It's still a problem.
He was brilliant in that second inning. Brilliant.
Yep.
1-2-3. After he just, you know, gave up 6. You know?
Absolutely.
Send him down.
Well, that rapid fire opinion segment of 18 different things was brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's Cars with a K, Christian Arkand.
Yo.
What you going to be talking about, my friend?
Full four hours.
Full fours tonight. Very excited. We will have Dongs tonight at 9:30, which is good. We'll have Tom King from the Nashua Telegraph joining us at 8 o'clock, talking to A.J. Brown and the Patriots. He's kind of down on the whole thing, honestly. So that'll be interesting. We'll get a contrarian view on that, which honestly I haven't heard yet. Everybody's been very uniform about it so far, and that's been good. And, yeah, we'll probably do the first 2 hours on Brian Baio, I would think. So, yeah. Get ready.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening to our abbreviated show. sorry about the Red Sox. That's no fun, especially being at a game like that.
Bullpen and open and starting games.
Yes, thank you very much.
But they're good on the road. Tune in tomorrow night.
There you go. It'll be worth listening to. Everybody have yourself a fantastic evening. Enjoy Christian Arcan for a full 4 hours of in-your-face hot sports talk. Flames from his lips. It's been a pleasure speaking with you for the last hour and a half. Dan Housen, keep that curse, that lack of curse going. Everybody have a great day. Goodbye.